Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's get into it, Mini. So first and foremost, we actually have some news about St. Thomas, University of St. Thomas Athletics before we jump into the heart of Tommytown tonight. It was announced just earlier today in the afternoon that there was a record-breaking Tommy Give Day for the University of St. Thomas Athletics. Yes, you heard that right. With that said, over $1.4 million was raised by 691 donors, which is huge. Clearly, the University of St. Thomas community exhibited its support and generosity once again, as Tommy Athletics saw its most successful Tommy Give Day yet. Yesterday, on November 14th, 2023, together, like I mentioned, 691 donors rallied to support over 500 Tommy student athletes. That is a 38% increase in the number of donors participating from 2022, and 142% increase from 2 years ago and their first Tommy Give Day in Division I. Those alumni, friends, families, fans, and supporters from 30 different states generously gave $1,437,496 to provide Tommy student athletes with the resources necessary to relentlessly pursue comprehensive excellence in the classroom, the community, through character, and in competition. This was a 43% of the overall university record-breaking total this year of $3,350,984. So, obviously, a huge thanks to everybody as a, you know, avid Tommy follower and a fan. You know, thank you to all those that donated. For those that may be interested, Tommy Baseball finished at the top of all teams and programs with 69 donors, followed closely by the men's hockey team with 62, and then men's cross country, men's track and field, and football, both finished with 49 donors. So once again, you know, huge thanks. You know, if you gave, you know, thank you very much. I can't wait to see what this money is used towards. I'm sure we will see part of it at work in the upcoming facilities and all that sorts of fun stuff. For the men's hockey team, they're coming off of their second straight sweep in CCHA play. Sophomore goaltender Aaron Trotter 2 days ago was named the CCHA goaltender of the week after a 42 save effort this last weekend. They've won their program best current 4 games in a row over the last 2 weekends, and he has been in net for 2 of those 4 wins with an integral part of the 4-1 win over Bowling Green on Friday night. The sophomore goalie propelled the team to victory despite being outshot 43-23. Only one power play goal got by the second-year netminder. And he's actually only the 5th Tommy to be awarded a CCHA weekly honor, joining the likes of Luke Manning, Liam Malmquist, Lucas Wallen, and fellow goalie Jake Seibel. This is his 4th time being named Goaltender of the Week and 5th weekly award. It's also worth noting the goalie tandem of Trotter and Seibel have now combined for the CCHA leading 2.56 goals against average and second best 907 save percentage. Still kind of have mixed feelings. I know, you know, college hockey is a little bit different than NHL hockey, but still have some mixed feelings that we'll get into in a minute about having, you know, this 1A, 1B tandem, similar to like the Wild is using. But yeah, first and foremost, just want to give a, you know, shout out, like I said, the University of St. Thomas hockey team, is, you know, currently riding a 4-game, winning streak. They're currently about to have an off weekend, getting ready for Lake Superior State, who will be coming to town, excuse me, the Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving. But yeah, like I mentioned, Trotter helped the team win 4-1 on Friday night, and then on Saturday night, the Tommies won a come from behind 4-3 victory over the Bowling Green team. And I have to say, this last weekend was a little bit different. You know, they did have 8 goals that were only scored by 5 different goal scorers. And they technically did have 11 skaters winning, registering a point, but it was really, you know, you look at the score sheet, Liam Malmquist finished the series with 2 goals and 5 points. Cooper Gay finished with 3 goals and 4 points, and Quinton Pepper finished with a goal and 4 points. They were the only 3 players that that had more than one point, and Liam and Cooper were the only skaters with more than a single goal. So a little bit of a different weekend, kind of seeing, you know, the likes of, you know, one specific line, you know, getting a lot of the recognition. Liam's 2 goals, he had a power play goal and a shorthanded goal, and then both Cooper Gay and Quinton Pepper each had a game-winning goal for the Tommies. Jake Seibel did register 21 saves in the Saturday night win, and you know, it's tough. Again, I don't know how different, I know they are different, but I don't know how different, you know, you have these two, you know, tandem back-to-back goals. And the reason I say that is because when push comes to shove, I understand we're not, you know, in postseason eligibility, but when it comes down to, you know, winning, you know, an integral game 3, when you have a 1A and a 1B, it's hard to kind of have that go-to goal. So it's like when you need to close out, if you're up, you know, 1-0 in a best-of-3 series, or if you're tied 1-1 in a best-of-3 series, who are you going to throw in net? You know, I think I speak for a lot of people when you talk about hockey and you look at the you know, having that go-to goalie. And with both of them, like, they currently have a good problem. Both goalies are playing phenomenal, which is awesome. But at the same time, it's kind of like, well, you know, like I said, if push comes to shove, who's your guy? You know, is it the freshman, Seibel, who, you know, is awesome? And Aaron Trotter, who is playing great so far this season, but, you know, his first 2 years or first 1 year, you know, didn't have a great, you know, start to his career. So, you know, that's, like I said, you know, neither here nor there. Don't really have to worry about that yet. But just something worth keeping in the back of our mind. So, yeah, like I said, the men's team is coming up on their, on an off week, rest up, and then they'll have a series right after Thanksgiving, hosting Lake Superior State, and then they will travel the next weekend, first one in December, to Big Rapids, Michigan, to take on Ferris State. So yeah, as for the women's hockey team, they actually sweeped WCHA Weekly Honors on Monday. It was named that 4 Tommies received honors after a victory over Minnesota State on Thursday, November 9th. Riley Bartz was named the forward of the week. Nicole Valario, defender of the week. Kala Frank, goaltender of the week. And Ella Berger, the rookie of the week. Riley Bartz was named the WCHA forward of the week after posting 3 points in a 4-1 victory over the Mavericks. She tallied an assist in the second period on linemate Ella Berger's game-winning goal, and then scored 2 power play goals, both assisted by Berger and Valario. So that's, you know, why Valario was there. Kala Frank made 21 of 22 shots, posting a .955 save percentage on the night, and now holds a 3-3-0 record with the Tommies so far this season. And once again, Berger had a great night too, with goals and assists through the help of Riley Bartz. So that is what we have for the women's hockey team. Like I said, this last week they only had 1 game where they only had 1 game where they took on the University of Minnesota State. Mankato won that game. This week they will be hosting St. Cloud State, 6 o'clock on Friday and 1 o'clock on Saturday, home and home series, before having a little bit of time off before they go to play two games in Arlington, Virginia, which will be pretty exciting for the girls. So with that, we move on to basketball, and I gotta say, both men's and women's teams bounced back very, very nicely after losing, both of them losing their home openers. The men's team on Friday beat Idaho State 54-53 in a nail biter, and then only a couple nights later, two nights to be exact, they beat North Central Minnesota, scoring 100 points to 54. Parker Bjorklund leading the Tommies with 21 points against Idaho State. And then against North Central, it was Carter Bjerke who led the way with a total of 14 points. Scoring really went all around in that 100-point effort. And it's worth noting there are quite a few of Tommies that are already producing this early in the season. You have Parker Bjorklund and Raheem Anthony both averaging over 10 points per game. Drake Dobbs, 8.3 points a game. Brooks Allen, 8 points a game. And then even right behind them, Carter Bjerke with 7.3. You have three games into the season. You already have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You have 8 guys averaging 6 points or more. So 6 times 8. That's averaging so far. They're averaging about 73, a little over 73 points per game. So again, it kind of stinks. You look back at that game against Cal and think they could have and should have had that, and it'd be completely different seeing, a 3-0 start. But, hey, you got to take the wins, when you get them, and you just hope that the Tommies can build off of last season, because last season they got better than the first season. Last year they ended the season with 19-14 overall record and 9-9 in conference play. So who knows, hopefully the team can win at least 20 games this year and kind of take that next jump, next step in the program's, progression of history. And with that, up next for this team, they will be in a tournament, the Lancer Jost, in Riverside, California. They'll be taking on Cal Poly, at 6:30 on Friday night. That can be listen to on ESPN 1500, November 18th, 7 p.m. against California Baptist. That game will actually be on ESPN Plus for those that are interested. And then the last game will be against Portland State, and that game can be heard on ESPN 1500 as well. And that will be at 4:30 p.m. As for the women's team, they had big scoring output as well, as they hosted UW River Falls this last Saturday in their home opener. St. Thomas jumped out to, they had a 30-point first quarter and just didn't, look back from that. Jade Hill led the way for the Tommies with 26 points. Amber Scalia was right behind with 24 herself. Joe Langben and Faith Feuerbach were tied with 8 points. And Joe Langben was only 2 points away from a double-double as she picked up 10 rebounds. So they really got scoring up and down the roster. They ended up having 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 girls with 8 points or more. And 5 girls with double-digit points. I apologize, I'm looking at that. Zoe Washington at 15, and Phoebe Frenzel had 10 herself. So, once again, you like to see a really good team effort. Minutes, You know, obviously the starters got the majority of the minutes, but Phoebe Frenzel came off the bench getting those 10 points in 20 minutes. And Zoe Washington was huge, getting not only 15 points, but 3 rebounds, an assist, and 2 steals in just 18 minutes. So, you know, really good team basketball playing so far. And really hope they can bring that into these their next couple games. So before the night of the next podcast, they will be, they will be hosting Utah Valley 2:30 p.m. this Saturday, and then they will be in California on Tuesday, the 21st, to take on St. Mary's of California before getting a little bit of a break before going to the Tiger Turkey tip-off the Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving. And then for the Tommy football team, really good, nice win over San Diego State, who has proved to be a tough opponent these first 3 years in the Pioneer Football League, as the Tommies prevailed for a 20-14 win in overtime with a Hope Adebayo 16-yard TD rush. He became the first running back in the D1 era to score multiple touchdowns in 3 consecutive games. And this was the first overtime game in 149 games that St. Thomas has taken place in. Really, really big game. makes the last week of the season pretty interesting. Because with that, they will not only be celebrating their seniors, but they will host Valpo in the final game of the 2023 season and could clinch a share of the Pioneer Football League title with a win. kickoff is slated for 1 p.m. on the 18th here. Like I said, there's plenty on the line thanks to their win over San Diego and a loss by Davidson. The Tommies find themselves in the thick of things in the Pioneer Football League title race with a Drake loss. I didn't realize you could tie and do that. I didn't realize that could work. So with the Drake loss and a St. Thomas win, the St. Tommies would clinch a share of the conference title, winning their second consecutive after winning it outright last year. And it would also extend St. Thomas's home field win streak to 31 consecutive games, as we've not lost at home since December of 2016. St. Thomas will honor 21 seniors, Shane Aberg, Hope Adebayo, Aaron Arnold, Jonathan Bunce, Will Berkey, Jake Coleman, Dane DeMuth, Johnson Falala, Joey Fitzgerald, Matthew Gigamis, Luke Herzog, Cam Inn, Alex Kuntz, Brandon Liston, Nick Seifert, Tommy Shelstead, Nick Stanger, Andrew Thomas, Lucas Torgensen, and Colin Zinn. In reading through those 21 names, many of you that regularly listen to this podcast, there are a lot of them that we have we talked about a lot, so there will definitely be big shoes to fill from. These 21 individuals have won the department's first ever Division I conference title in just its second season, and a compiled record of 41-11. Additionally, these seniors did not lose a single home game in their tenure with the program, including several FCS opponents. So, huge thanks to all of you. This program wouldn't be where it is without many, many of you. So thank you, and can't wait to see what some of these do. I mean, with some of, FCS schools tend to not get the notoriety and the publicity that the FBS schools do. But hey, some of these guys not being, biased, like Hope Adebayo's, Luke Herzog, Johnson Falala, are, in my opinion, deserving of being drafted. So we're just going to have to wait and see that happen. And then before wrapping up, our Minnesota Golden Gophers had yet again another just bad loss. They're 5-5 on the season now, and truthfully, their only, in my opinion, their only hope of having a decent bowl game is if they find a way to upset Ohio State in Columbus, Ohio, and then come back on after Thanksgiving and beat Wisconsin. I just think having a 6-6, you know, looking at this team, as good as the defense was, a 6-6 team that lost to Northwestern, that barely beat Iowa, lost to an Illinois team that they shouldn't, just like Northwestern, and then lost to a Purdue team, two losses in a row. it's not a good resume when the bowl people who do the bowls are doing. So like I said, I think their only hope of having a decent, reputable bowl is if they can find a way to beat Ohio State and then can hopefully lay the smackdown on Wisconsin, which you have to think if you're PJ Fleck, that's what you're wanting. Really, really disappointing game against Purdue. Wasn't really able to watch much of the first half, but the second half, they just look like they conceded, truthfully. And don't really feel like getting down that rabbit hole too much because don't really feel like getting too worked up tonight. Ethan Kaliak-Manis had, you know, an okay game. Himself, you know, finishing with 292 yards and 3 TDs. You know, he only took 1 sack. Jordan Newbin had a good game, 89 yards on 16 attempts. Then even Daniel Jackson, 119 yards on 2 receptions. Ottman Bell, Brevin Spanford, and Elijah Spencer caught the 3 TDs. But we just, you know, truthfully, we just, we couldn't stop them. We couldn't stop them. They kind of scored as much as they want. Thankfully, we didn't really turn the ball over all that much. We had so many empty drives and then couldn't stop them. So it's an unfortunate game, but like they say, onward and upward. The Ohio State game will be 3 p.m. on the 18th. And like I said, hopefully this team can surprise us. Currently, Ohio State is, I believe, they're number 1 in the college football playoff. Let me just double check that. No, they're number 2. They're number 2, so right now, Georgia, heading into week 12, Georgia's number 1, Ohio is 2, Michigan is 3, and FSU is 4. Within the next week or two, or by the time college football plays, watch either the loser of Ohio State and Michigan will get kicked out of the top 4. So that is what I have for you guys this week for Tommy Talk. Excuse me. So for our beloved professional sports, we will jump right into the Minnesota Wild, who unfortunately have had just a string of not great games here, you know, in a row. They're currently riding a 3-game losing streak. Thankfully, they have a little bit of time off. They're a part of 4 teams in the NHL's Global Series this year. So the Wild, along with the Ottawa Senators and the Toronto Maple Leafs, will be traveling to, Stockholm, Sweden. And it looks like tomorrow, the Detroit Red Wings and the Ottawa Senators will be playing in the first of 4 games over there. The Wild will have the last 2 games as their only 2 games between now and Thanksgiving will be Saturday the 18th at technically 10 a.m. And they will take on the Ottawa Senators. And then the 19th, day after that at 7 a.m., they will take on the Ottawa Senators. So really good coverage for them being able to, you know, play on a national, or not a national, on a global stage. Really fun to see that. It'll be interesting. You know, but they're currently bringing in, like I said, a 3-game losing streak. Tough loss to Dallas, allowing 8 goals, and then just not being able to show up against the Rangers and the Buffalo Sabres. You know, you hate to see it. You hate, you know, obviously their last game was back on the 12th, so they had, you know, so they've had between the Dallas game and their Ottawa game, they'll have 6 days rest to kind of get ready, travel, all that kind of stuff. And then between their Toronto game, kind of traveling back, and then their next game after the Global Series being the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, hosting the Colorado Avalanche, will have another 5-day rest to obviously travel and rest up and get ready for those two games. So, you know, as fun as it's going to be for them, you hope they can kind of find their groove, kind of maybe, you know, switch up lines. Who knows what'll happen. But should be two good games. Didn't have a lot to talk about for the Wild this week. But did have an NHL kind of update. So at their annual sorry, I thought I had it pulled up. My phone timed me out on it. But the NHL's annual GM meeting was, excuse me, back on, what day was it? It was a couple days ago, I think, Monday, maybe Sunday, the 14th, so just yesterday. Actually, it wasn't, sorry, I'm all over the place tonight. It was announced yesterday, but I think it happened a couple days earlier. They're considering rule changes, essentially to create more offense and overtime. There's nothing, the article I read, unfortunately, doesn't give us any concrete answers. It says, you know, working with the NHLPA, they're open to suggestions and that kind of stuff. But some of the things they talked about was, you know, kind of creating a half-court version of 3-on-3 overtime. That way, you know, making it more of a quicker regrouping in the defensive zone as overtime is kind of quickly turned into a possession game, if you will. So, yeah, mainly just kind of want to let you know it sounds like they're going to be creating something. It sounds like they're not... they're not trying to get rid of the shootout. They're just trying to have more games finish in overtime versus going to a shootout, which doesn't surprise me, simply just because I think I speak for a decent amount of people when I say, over the years, having a game decided by, a shootout doesn't necessarily mean who's a better team. It means, you know, who's got the better moves, you know, who's gonna, you know, who has more breakaway moves and who has a better goalie, this and that kind of stuff. And I just think it's exciting because fans like it, but it's less indicative of who's the better team. And usually in hockey, the better team does win in instances like that. So, yeah, like I said, that was announced and from their GM meeting, and that is... what came from that? The next topic we have to talk about tonight is our Minnesota Timberwolves. Don't get me wrong. Yes, they're currently, you know, behind and, you know, not playing a great game against the Phoenix Suns right now. But, you know, before I got on here, I was talking with one of my cousins and, you know, I do want to let you guys know it doesn't happen very often. But every once in a while, teams play back-to-back games on the road, and it's very, very tough to do. They just got done playing the Golden State Warriors two times in a 3-day period, cruised to a win, and then in a second win came from behind. And I think the biggest, you know, the biggest takeaway from this is, you know, they will probably, after the conclusion of this game, be 8-3. They'll still be a top team in the Western Conference. The biggest thing I can say about the Timberwolves, you know, heading down into the stretch, you know, still, yeah, again, 8-3, they're only 11 games into the season. So, you know, they still have 70, no,
Yeah, they still have 71 games left to play. So there's still a lot of basketball to be played. You know, and again, talking with my cousin, you know, one of the things I echoed to him is, you know, you look at the last five teams, l the last 5 years, the teams that finished with the best record in the NBA lost on average 20 games a season. Okay. And what that means is every once in a while, teams are going to lose games. Good to great teams minimize those games. You know, you never lose, you know, one or two games, you know, in a row. You don't necessarily need all these 10 game, you know, 20 game winning streaks and all this and all that. You just got to be able to get wins, got to grind out tough wins, get easy wins when possible, and be able to, you know, stay competitive and not let lo loses sorry losses add up. And with that, not being able to close out games. So far this season, you know, 11 games in, they are doing a lot better job of closing out game. Again, you know, I look at this Warriors game, the second game where they won 104-101 despite the early ejections. That's a great game. They were able to come back from behind. You know, the Warriors game 116-110 was a great job closing out the Spurs. I mean, I look at a lot of these, you know, they were on that, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 game win streak. Being able to close out games is a big deal. So many times last year, and hopefully this can be the difference between last year's team and this year's team. So many times last year did the Wolves have 15, 16, 17, 18-point leads late in the third quarter, and even 10, 12-point leads halfway through the fourth quarter. They just weren't able to defend and get out of games with a win. And they led the league last year with with not being able to hold their leads. They lost, what was it? It was, I can't remember the exact stat, but they lost like 18 games last year when they were winning, when they were leading by at least 18 points halfway through the third quarter, you know. And that's just a testament of a team that just can't close out games. So far, early on in this season, they're doing a lot better of closing out games. Now, hopefully they can keep this up. You know, they're coming up on, you know, that's a tough thing. You know, in this league, there are so many good teams. They're coming up on, you know, a tough stretch. They go to New Orleans this Saturday, which should be, you know, a decent game. Okay game for us to win. New York is kind of, you know, a little higher than the pack, but then you host Philadelphia the night of the next podcast. Friday after Thanksgiving, you got a Sacramento. Like, you got to be able to win some of these games back to back. They've already shown us that, you know, handing Denver and Boston their first win, their first losses of the season in a matter of 5 days apart. So again, I will be honest with you guys. I love seeing what I'm seeing from this team so far. We just have to see them keep this up and stay consistent. Anthony Edwards is playing outstanding. He I was watching the game last I was watching the game against the second game against the Golden State Warriors, and Anthony Edwards is one of, what'd they say, four or five people averaging over 25 points per game with he sorry, again, I don't know what's going on with me tonight, guys. He is one of like four or five players in the league right now that are averaging over 25 points per game, over 5 rebounds a game, and over 5 assists per game. I think the other likes of that were Jokic, Tatum, and there was one, two, maybe two other guys. So to hear him in the likes of those guys, you know, especially with some of the older superstars like the LeBron James and the Kevin Durants kind of taking a backseat and kind of taking that slump, it's really nice, and it's really comforting to see Anthony Edwards kind of come into his own and do what he's about to do. So again, great thing. He's currently leading the team in points per game, 26.3. Cat is not far behind with 21 points per game. Only two guys there, but to add, I mean, there's essentially one, two, three, f essentially four guys averaging 10 points or more. Nas is averaging 13. Rudy's were averaging 11.2. Mike Conley's averaging 11, and technically Jaden McDaniels is averaging 9.9 points, which, you know, to be able to have, you know, I mean, that's a lot of points right there. That's a lot of points, and that's typically, I mean, Naz is usually comes off the bench, but other the you know those other you know McDaniels, Connolly, Edwards, Rudy Gobert, and Karl Anthony Towns. That's usually our starting five. So it's awesome that we're getting this production again. You hope we can stay healthy. You hope we can continue to see this efficiency, and if we can, you know, only good things will come. So that is what I have for. The Timberwolves, can't wait to see them, how they, you know, move up in the rest of the season. Now finishing off the podcast the right way, talking about this Minnesota Vikings team that has now won 5 games in a row without JJ and is currently riding a 2-game winning streak without JJ and Kirk Cousins. Don't get too hopeful and don't get your hopes up too much, but it is sounding like JJ, there is a chance he comes back for this Denver game. It's not likely. Truthfully, I don't think this Jefferson, I don't think JJ coming back. I don't think we need him to beat the Denver Broncos. I don't think we need him to beat the Bears. But I think, and then, you know, if he can get through those two, you got the bye week, you can activate him and kind of get him slowly ready going into those, you know, final 5 games after there. Because, honestly, we're going to need him for those final 5 games. The Bengals, I know by their standards, they're not playing great so far. But the Bengals usually always pick it up if they're not already playing great football late in the season. Two big games against the Lions in the last 3 weeks, and then a big, you know, divisional game against the Packers. Setting up to be, you know, a good last, you know, 7 weeks here. And yeah, like I said, I'm in, you know, with how we've been playing and how guys are stepping up. I don't think we are in desperate need of him. But that's my opinion. Another thing worth noting, the Vikings re-signed Anthony Barr yesterday after Jordan Hicks was injured and will be on the IR more than likely for the rest of the season. Hate to see him go down. He's had a great year. Not sure how much we're actually going to utilize Barr. From my understanding and from what I've read up, it's more about just having the depth and being able to have a couple guys to kind of bring in and bring out. So yeah, I think, you know, looking at this Saints game, huge win, super, you know, happy about the win. I think I speak for a lot of Vikings fan when I say the first half, unbelievable. Like, when was the last time we saw the Vikings going to halftime with a 24-3 lead? That was just awesome. It was exceptional, not a bowl. But yeah, it was very upsetting to see us only amount to 3 points in the second half after dropping 24 points in the first half. You know, the joke, you know, within my family is, gosh, you know, what we do in the friggin' a locker room at halftime? Well, clearly, Mike Zimmer called up KOC and said, hey, you know, try playing not to lose. It's, you know, it can be fun sometimes. But yeah, all jokes aside, you know, a win's a win. Doesn't really matter how you get it. Once again, Dobbs threw for a TD, 268 yards, and also ran for a TD as well. Meanwhile, the other score came from a Ty Chandler, a 2-yard run from the Wildcat. So really cool to see Ty Chandler kind of getting involved. Seeing Madison go down is obviously tough in that game. And then obviously with having Cam Akers out. Also, we signed Myles Gaskins to the practice squad. So lots of things coming on that horizon. So with that, we will jump into the last little bit I have for you guys, which is our betting. Once again, before I start my picks and everything for you guys, I am not liable for any losses. I am not a financial advisor, anything of that nature. Everything I say on this podcast is purely my opinion. So like I said, not only am I not responsible for any losses, I will not reach out to you for any winnings as well. So with that, my lock for the week I'm going with for you guys is the San Francisco 49ers, who are 12-point favorites over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Look, the Buccaneers tend to execute better offensively versus worse teams, but have struggled against, you know, better NFC teams, including the likes of the Lions and the Eagles. While the 49ers defense got well in Jacksonville on this long road trip from Tampa the other way, doesn't sound promising. I think, you know, Baker Mayfield will be pressured into key mistakes, while Brock Purdy and CMC keep San Francisco explosive offensively at home. I got the Niners winning this one comfortably 33-13. And then for my upset, the Cincinnati Bengals are currently 3.5-point underdogs against the Ravens. It's no wonder, you know, the Bengals clearly make some critical mistakes against the Texans and also had some sun troubles versus the run, but I think their defense should rebound here as the Ravens offense tends to be a little inconsistent with that idea. Joe Burrow is still playing at a high level, you know, since healing. And I think while Lamar Jackson isn't taking over games as of late, I think Cincinnati has played Baltimore well during the Burrow era, and I think it continues here in a thriller as the visitors split the season series. I got the Bengals winning a close one, 26-23. Look, I think the key to this game for the Vikings, I got us winning another relatively close one, 34-27. I think defensively we're going to put Russell Wilson into a tough situation. We are fourth in the league when it comes to running defense, as we only give up 3.6 yards per attempt. And against their win against the Bills, they ran a lot and pretty effectively. So I think we're going to do a relatively good job of stopping him and forcing Russell Wilson and this pass game to thrive. And with how Brian Flores B-Flow has been running this defense, I think that coupled with pressure, he's going to make some ill-advised passes. So defensively, I got us picking off Russell Wilson twice. And then in his first two weeks, Josh Dobbs has combined for five total touchdowns, three total in his first game, two last week. I got him combining and having a four total TD game as a Viking. I'm not saying how many are going to be passing, I'm not saying how many are going to be rushing, but I got him doing a combination of those two four times. So with that, if you place a parlay on the picks I've given you, which are the Vikings at +2.5, who are technically underdogs in this game, the Niners at -12, and the Bengals at +3.5, placing a $100 bet, you would win $595.79, $10 to win $59.58, and $1 to win $5.96. And lastly, the other locks I like, the Jaguars are current 6.5-point favorites over the Titans, which I love. And then, you know, the Bears are in disarray, so the Lions are currently 9.5-point favorites over the Chicago Bears. And lastly, there's only one other upset that I like, and that's the Steelers, who are 4-point underdogs against the Browns. I think with this Watson injury, I think the Browns season is essentially over. So with that, I will leave you guys with, remember, this podcast about you guys, the listeners. If you have a topic you want me to address or a question you want me to answer, please reach out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or by emailing us. Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram handles are at miniweekend, and email is miniweekend@gmail.com. That's MINNYWEEKEND @gmail.com. And be sure to let us know if you'd like to stay anonymous with your questions as well. Also find us and give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, where there are giveaways and you can stay up to date on all things Mini Weekend. And lastly, make sure you hit that subscribe button to get notified of the new episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, Mini.